Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
He's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything that revolves around college football. We are already into November. It is week 11. We got a couple of more weeks left of the college football regular season, and then we have the conference championships, and then we have that Sunday. What is that? Would that be December 2nd when they decide the top four? The committee gets together and gets paid off. No, I'm just kidding. They get together and they decide who will become the national semifinalist. All right, so anyway, we are back. It's a little bit later than we normally do it, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Life gets in the way. We kind of had to tweak our schedule, but we're here. We are definitely here, and we got a lot to talk about. Now, obviously, last week, Alabama sent about as strong a message as you can by just slowly but surely steamrolling LSU 29-0. It kind of felt like that 21-0 game in the national title, I think, 2011? That's what it kind of felt like, just pure domination. Now, Michigan sent a message as well, not as strong as a team, of course, that they were facing, but still, they sent a message. Both teams sent a message to that playoff committee who does the rankings, and man, Bama just looked crazy. They also, you know, we also had a lot of action in the Big 12. Go figure, we had a bunch of shootouts that came down to the wire that we'll mention and kind of discuss. And, of course, we're going to look – and that's from Week 10. Of course, we got to look at Week 12 coming up, Week 11 coming up. We're going to preview and predict that, go back and forth, and all that good stuff. Number one, Alabama versus number 16, Mississippi State. Number two, Clemson versus number 17, Boston College. Number 10, Ohio State versus number 18, Michigan State. Number 5, Georgia versus newly ranked 24 at that, Auburn. And much, much more included games that are under the radar. We like to talk the spread against the spread or over-unders and all that good old degenerate type stuff. And, you know, of course we got to talk about the crafty pick of the week that is just a lock now. Just lock it in. You know, we'll talk about it because this is the first time that we're going to have audio from a SportsCenter show that actually the game we picked, we both picked it. I pick them, picks which one I pick. And I'm saying he as in Marshall. That was freaking crazy. I could not believe the outcome, and I had no clue about some other statistics. That just makes me laugh that, you know, I thought it was a long shot. I thought I was already, you know, picking a team that hadn't won yet this season. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, did I not even know how long it had been since they had won. I never would have picked them. Well, you know, who knows? I've been going on the limb lately, so maybe I still would have done it. But it's fun picking a team that hadn't won. but just wait until you hear how long it had been. And I'll tell you what, we're up to like 4 weeks in a row. I think four of the last five, something like that. It's strong. I started out 0-3 or something like that, and it's just been a storm trooping since. So we're going to break it all down for you. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, you can find it right here at blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. My cat just scratched the shit out of me. At blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live here in archives. It's the headquarters. However, you can find the College Ball Show a couple of ways, okay? Under the Ropeadope Radio podcast, you can find that on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, a whole lot of places that, you know, you like to listen to pods. You'll find it there. College Ball Show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can subscribe to that as well in the same spots, including iHeartRadio. You can stream it on, and Spotify. You can also stream it there. Head on over to GruelingTruth.net. That's the GruelingTruth.net. They got football. They got basketball, boxing, baseball. They got everything you need. They're even still doing the weekly Canadian Football League predictions. You got to love it. Head on over to GruelingTruth.net. You know, you can read an article. I do a weekly post for college football that later in the year, or later next year, I should say, turns into college basketball and the NBA playoffs later. You can listen to a podcast. You can listen to the podcast right there at GruelingTruth.net. And while you're at it, place a bet. It'll send you right to MyBookie.ag. They got a great sponsor over there in MyBookie.ag. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host right now, who's had a busy day, to say the least. He is live on the show now. What's up, Marshall? How you doing, buddy?
I'm driving home, my friend, back to the coaching season. It's not football. It's basketball, though. We had a tournament game tonight. Wasn't the prettiest of outcomes, but it's only the second game of the year, so plenty of hope and positivity left. Had a couple of nice gentlemen saying incredibly nice things as we walked away from the school towards the bus, you know, kind of every word in the book. So, you know,
it's
nice to live another day. Well, the girls were walking out the gym, and obviously you just want to keep your mouth shut. But when you got a bunch of high school kids, a little bit of a rougher area,
right.
Throwing in all sorts of, have a safe ride home, you know, kind of quotes.
Yeah.
for the PG level.
right.
To switch up to a little more of an adult conversation, and as you've been hot on your crafty pick of the week, I've been pretty good on my locks of the year, too. I normally give out one or two locks. I've been probably hitting about 60 to 70%. I've had a couple of off days. This was one of them. My lock was Texas because West Virginia's head coach never wins big games or games that his team is an underdog in, or where I feel he's the lesser of the two coaches. So I gave out Texas. And if you bet Texas, you were sitting pretty with 15 seconds left in the game until Will Effing Greer did an Aaron Rodgers impersonation. If you rewatch that play, it was a 40-yard pass on a rope to a receiver who had just enough space to where he had 1 foot to plant in. The ball fell into his arm. He didn't move his arms. I mean, that was literally just Aaron Rodgers, but in Will Greer. And he flew it. He threw the ball flat-footed and skipped 1 foot in the air.
Yeah, he did.
So the pass itself was a miracle. You're down seven, and he has a miracle pass. And then, since Dana Holgorsen has Will Greer, he's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going for two. And they get that they set up a play. They go for two for the win to be aggressive. Tom Herman thinks he's so cool and sly, calls a timeout the last second. They run the play.
Play
scores.
Right.
But Tom Herman, they zoomed into him, and you see him lying down on the sidelines like he's some bad dude because he called the timeout. But West Virginia does the same play the next time. But instead of Wilger throwing to a slant, the receiver that runs the slant runs, and Wilger goes to the open space, and they win. So obviously I know Bama LSU is the main highlight game we'll get to, but I mean, just I don't feel like I made a wrong pick. It's just Will Greer, when he's on, as we've said this year, is one of the best quarterbacks in college football. The throw he made was phenomenal, and clearly when a coach believes in your quarterback to make a game when you play like that, that's awesome. Because on the other side, Chris, and we've seen this happen so many times, you and I are aggressive guys who respect coaches that go for two in a situation where it's overtime or go for the win. Going for the win is something fun to do. West Virginia's on the road. You know, you got momentum, and you have a great quarterback. But we've also seen it to where you go for two, you don't make it, and all of a sudden now you got the egg on your face in a press conference.
Right.
You're like, you know, I believe my kids. We call it a good play, but crap, we just lost the game. We're going to say, Coach, why didn't you go into OT? So that turned out pretty good for them. And what was actually a fun game that was back and forth the whole game, plenty of points, plenty of offense, a bunch of momentum swings, but a fun game, which was a nice little preview, because when that game ended, Bama LSU started about 15 to 20 minutes after that one, my friend.
Yeah, and it was 42 to 41. Both quarterbacks just went off. If you look at their numbers, very, very impressive. That's one of the Big 12 games that was a shootout and was back and forth and was nuts. But there was another one, too. And, of course, no surprise, really, if you think about it, Oklahoma against Texas Tech, you kind of figured they put up some points, and they did, 51 of them. To get over Texas Tech, 51 to 46. Kyler Murray threw for 360, threw three touchdowns, ran the touchdown in 100 yards. Sermon had 26 carries, 206 on the ground for 7.9 per carry, had three touchdowns as well, 323 and four touchdowns on the ground. For me, was the difference maker. If you look at it, Ward was the only guy that had, well, no, Ward and Duffy, both those guys combined for right around 100 yards. So they tried to run it, but just couldn't get it done. Obviously, the quarterback stuff going on, you know, with, what is it, Bowden or something like that? I think it's Bowden. You know, he's been kind of, he got banged up a little bit ago. He played a little this game, didn't quite make it all the way through. But 680 total yards to 473, and it really was that rushing, you know, game. 360 passing, but like I said, 323, dude. And
did you hear about Bowman?
What's that?
Well, you know how he'd had that collapsed lung, you know, problem in
prior games.
So I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden I hear Todd McShay say that Bowman got hit with an inverted ball during second half warm-ups. So
I
he either
did not
got hit
hear
the
that
head
anywhere.
Yeah, he either hit the head
God.
Or he got hit in the lung again because
injury.
He was in the
yeah.
past week.
Oh.
So an accidental warm up on the sidelines ball because they show camera footage.
You know, we saw that with JT Barrett. Remember, we saw that with JT Barrett. Someone ran into him on his own team. Or, like, not even his teammate.
Yeah.
Remember that a couple years ago?
Yeah.
What the hell, dude? I did not hear that.
So, because Bowman's first half numbers were sick. And, I mean, Texas Tech played a great second half because that Jet Duffy's a good quarterback. But, yeah, so because I'm watching the game and I sat down to turn the second half and it's like the quarterback got hurt with an inadvertent ball during second half warm-ups. It's like, what?
What the hell?
So, yeah.
I'm glad that
you saw
that because I didn't see that. I didn't hear about it either. I must have not I only saw, like, a chunk of the game, and then I watched both of those games, like, you know, chunks of them just to see how they went. But I didn't wow, dude, that sucks, man.
I know. Inverted football.
Wow. Well, we might as well get right to it. Alabama destroys LSU. Like I said, slowly but surely just taking away their pride. Just ran amok on them. 281 yards on the ground compared to 12 freaking yards rushing for LSU. You know if it was going to be a problem. We knew they weren't going to go out and chuck the ball for 300 yards. I mean, not many can do it against Bama anyway, but not with their quarterback, not the way they're set up. But 35 minutes to 24 for time of possession. Just like I said, you know, LSU's defense definitely showed up. I'm not ripping them, that's for sure, because it was like a slow grind. You know, they made them work for everything they got. Sure, on their second drive, they did have a nice drive, got a touchdown, added a field goal on a 15-play drive before half. But honestly, like, they were right there with them, you know, defensively and all that. But and there was a moment where there was an interception by Bama in the first half, and a couple plays later there was a fumble, so they didn't do anything with that. And you're thinking, man, if they can get to half at 9-0, that's not bad, but that wasn't the case. 16-0 is how they actually got there. And, you know, to start out with a 3-and-out, then 5 plays, then a 3-and-out, they did have a nice 12-play drive, but missed the field goal. By that time, it was too late. There was a late drive. That was an interception. Like I said, none of that really mattered. Bama just being Bama, and like I mentioned at the top of the show, it really felt like that 21-0 game in the national championship, Marshall.
Yeah, you know, like I said, we're basically going to be discussing a team who deserves a silver medal, because unless Tua goes down, this team is just too good. They went into the toughest environment in the country, facing arguably the best defense in the country, and 29-0. I mean, you literally can't give them a tougher test. And I guess you could say, okay, well, they could play a team with a better offense than LSU's. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's no team in the country with a better offense than Clemson's defense, probably, than LSU, and they don't have quite the home field. I mean, maybe Clemson, but that team is.
Well, you said offense.
You
didn't say anything about defense. You said an offense, and Clemson does have a defense. They have a defensive line, and when they'd play, they'd have a month probably. Well, maybe not though. Actually, I take that back. They'd only have a week, probably. You know, if you set it up 1-2.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a handful of most of tougher challenges, if even, and they went in and took one of the toughest challenges and won. And I mean, give credit to LSU's defense. It's the first time all year Bama did not score a touchdown on their first drive. You did make Tua, I mean, at least work hard to complete passes. I mean, their secondary played about as good as you could have, and you still lose by 4 touchdowns. And the other thing that kind of hit me, and I kind of felt like an idiot during the game, you know, because we've been hearing all year that, God, Bama's defense ain't quite as good as we think. And it kind of hit, when you watch them play, it's like, God, how stupid am I? Okay, this Nick Saban Bama defense isn't his typical Bama defense, but I would still take his defense over about any, you know, besides maybe a few other in the country. Like, the national media saying Bama's defense is not that good this year is like saying, okay, but if I'm Northwestern, USC, Cal, Oregon, Auburn, you know, pretty much any random school, I would gladly take a B-plus defense of Bama because their defense came out to play. And I got to imagine they had a little bit of a motivation because all you hear in the media is Tua, Tua, Tua. Their offense is sick. And you're like, oh, Bama's defense ain't that good. Well, they sure as hell came to play too because LSU's offense isn't explosive, but they've put up some points in games against good teams this year. So just an all-around great performance by Bama. I mean, you make the offense work, but even then, you got to stop them for 4 quarters. And it's too tough to do. And my last note, Saban's done a wonderful job of rotating his running backs. They said that they've got 4 talented running backs on their team. They got 4 talented running backs on their team.
Better than wearing down one guy like he's done in the past. Give a guy 50 carries and ruin it. Lacy.
Yeah, and they basically, I think every running back has about 90 carries on the year between 4 of them. So those guys are all going to be fresh when it comes to Auburn, SEC title game, the Final Four. But yeah, like they said, that there was that stretch where either it was Mark Ingram or Lacy who had 72 carries in a week.
Yeah.
Because they had the end of the game versus Auburn and SEC title game, and you ran the ball 72 times with one dude. So just compliments to Bama. A nice win at LSU. You played a hell of a damn good game. And you only got beat by 29. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it was it was nasty. It was dirty. It was disgusting. Unless you're a Bama fan, then it was just, you know, lovely. That's for sure. Thursday night and Friday night had some interesting games. Central Florida keeps it going against Temple. A little bit better than, you know, opposition than they faced of late. You can kind of tell all the game played out, 52-40. Very interesting game that I watched that. Same with the Virginia-Pitt game. That was a pretty good game last Friday. Pitt knocked off Virginia, who had just gotten ranked and had actually started playing some pretty good ball. They were starting to kind of put it all together. Clemson rolls, puts up 77, and it does kind of look like, although Bama looks like all by themselves, Bama, it is getting close to Bama and Clemson and everybody else, how we kind of felt like at the beginning of the season. Obviously, Michigan would have something to say about that now that they're on a roll. Like I said, they won 42-7, and man, they really put the pedal to the metal in that second half. Man, they blew them out. They held Penn State to I think it was 196 yards, their lowest output in 12 years or something like that. Pretty crazy. Notre Dame, once again, now Notre Dame is kind of going through that part of their schedule and the part of the season that we've seen plenty of teams go through. And sometimes when you don't have those marquee matchups, it gets harder and harder to get up to that elite level and think, yeah, dude, we gotta be on our A game. This is Northwestern, you know, that type of thing. Even though Northwestern had been playing better and whatnot, but they got by. They did control a large portion of the game. They just didn't necessarily separate themselves like some people would like, and not just in this game, but a couple of games this season. We'll see if they can keep it going. They do have some interesting matchups coming up, but it's going to be, you know, more than likely it's going to have to be an unranked foe, you know, an upset. But they did get by a good quality Northwestern team, 31-27. Washington State in a very close game with California. They actually had to sneak that one out. What was it, 25 seconds, 20 seconds that Washington scored their touchdown? 25-yard pass, I believe it was. Very close game.
Yeah,
Cal.
Yep, a little late-end-game miracle.
Yep, 19-13. I mean, 25 seconds left, I'm not going to call it a miracle. But, yeah, man,
sure.
19-13. Nebraska, once again, played somebody close, this time Ohio State. Ohio State, we know their defense isn't what it usually is. They still gave up 31 points. And that I watched a good chunk of that game a little bit that day and then a little bit later on DVR, and that was a very competitive game, man. 36-31. Florida, 0-4, Mizzou in the SEC,
dear God.
0-5, 1-2, beat Florida in the swamp. Not just beat them, they went into the swamp and kicked the shit out of them, 38-17. That was a shocker. Utah went down to Arizona State. Utah kind of, you know, lost a quarterback and a running back, 38-20. ASU, man, they are on the up and up as a program right now. You know, this year has got to be really helping out their recruiting. It'll be interesting to see the next couple of years with the brand new head coach. Another tight game that we thought would be close. Iowa goes down on the road to Purdue. The Boilermakers pull it out 38-36. Just got by them. Syracuse keeps it going against Wake 41-24. Auburn. There's been an Auburn sighting. They actually got a win. I know it was at home, but they got a win against the ranked team, 28-24. It's been a hard season for them. Good for them, though, no doubt about that. BC kept it going, 31-21. And I heard that – is this right that the Kansas coach got fired? Am I right when I hear that or say that? Did I read? I think
yeah.
I saw
yeah.
that on Twitter or something like that. Here's a guy.
Yeah.
You know, the way this squad's played this year, considering, like, how they've played in the last, I don't know, since, you know, Weiss was there. I mean, really? You're going to fire him? Did he do something that I just didn't catch, like, online? Did he, like, you know, did he pull, like, that Louisville coach where he got in a car, like, a motorcycle accident with the chick he was messing around with or something? Like, because, dude, I'm not saying they were going to build something there, but can't you let the guy who's actually got some W's for the squad, can't you let him finish out the year? Unless I'm just ignorant with this and there's something I didn't know about him, you know, doing some wild shit or something like that. But that one, not that it's a surprise at the end of the year, but it was a little bit of a surprise just because it's like, dude, we've actually talked about some positivity with Kansas this year. Finally, after all these years, they haven't been good since, you know, well, actually, they were good before, after Mason. They were good in, like, what, 2008, 2009, 2010. Wasn't it Kansas and Missouri in a big game way back when
yeah.
they had that big
yeah,
ass
oh, yeah.
coach? What's his name, that big coach? And when
oh,
I mean big, I mean
Mangino.
You know, like teddy. Yeah, the teddy bear. That's what it was. Big old teddy bear. He had that thing bumping. I remember that game. I remember I was in Florida, I think, watching it over Thanksgiving. That's what it was. So, yeah, I mean, a variety of other games that, you know, took place and whatnot. Any comments out of those top 25 games or any other games that you want to get to, you know, while we're going to kind of condense it tonight, so we're not going to go as long. A couple other games that you want to mention or kind of dip into before we get to some of these. Well, it's not much to talk about rankings-wise. But before we get to week 11 and whatnot.
Yeah, and we'll say we did screw up on the West Virginia pick. Although, oddly enough, that game went from Texas -2 to West Virginia -1. So if you bet Texas +1 a kickoff, you push in a very weird way. But I will say we did expect Michigan to roll, just simply due to Penn State. That was their fifth hard game in a row. Michigan has all the momentum. They're still fighting to basically be in the Final Four team. So we did screw up on the West Virginia pick, maybe, depending on when you bet it. But the Michigan game, I mean, Penn State's schedule, it's just been a gauntlet. So when you see 42-7,
really,
yeah, Penn State is not that bad of a team. Michigan is not quite that good. But sometimes in college football, the more I've done this show with you and just kind of bet throughout the years, in college football especially, a lot of times – Your schedule alone can kind of help a fan like us predict a win or a loss. And that now I'm sure Penn State will play an average team. They might beat them by 30. But, man, when you play five hard games in a row in a tough conference, it's like, dude, you're going to slip up at some point. And it just happened to happen.
Yeah.
And props to Washington.
And they're
State.
Not even at their it's best a, this year either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You've put all the pressure on McSorley's shoulders after trying to replace Saquon Barkley. It's been a lot of moving variables. And like I said, just props to Wazoo. This is a team we like to talk about every year because they normally – Leach always gets 7 to 8 wins, okay? They're never a bad team. But
right.
They've also never been a team where at this point in the year, Chris, we're discussing them trying to win the Pac-12. They're always that fun run-and-gun team that only upsets a team to ruin their season. But they're in the driver's seat now. They legit can win the Pac-12, and I don't know. I mean, you probably have to go back to Ryan Leaf, back to the time when they had a legit, like, really good national contending team. And Ryan Leaf is, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that's like early mid 90s. I mean, we're going back quite a ways for Ryan Leaf, I believe.
Yeah, it's
so
like 97.
Okay,
like
yeah,
that,
maybe
95.
Mid to late. You're
yep.
right. Yeah, so we're going
yeah.
back 20-ish years. So hell. Props to Mike Leach in Pullman, Washington, doing his thing with the I'm drawing a blank on their team name. My God, I'm getting tired. Cougars. Yeah,
Cougars.
Wazoo Cougars. So, yeah, props on this one. And lastly, I did bet Florida.
I almost never ever bet against my own teams, but Missouri had had a heartbreaking loss to Kentucky. Florida had been playing pretty good ball, but Florida's offense looked abysmal. That was a train wreck, garbage, dumpster fire, spit on it, kick it down the drain game. That was just, it was hideous. I guess Florida was hungover from the Georgia loss, which I guess I should have seen. But, man, that game was ugly. They looked like an unranked team, and Mizzou looked good. So props to Mizzou for getting their first conference win. I just wish it had not cost me money.
Speaking of shitty offense, the Canes were back at it again with their redshirt senior quarterback who they keep putting in the game for some strange reason. We might as well just go with the redshirt freshman and deal with the mistakes that he'll make. Just ugly, ugly, ugly. 12 freaking points against Duke. And, hey, I respect Duke, no doubt about it. I don't think they've won in Miami since the 70s. But, you know, I do respect Duke. As a program, I respect the coach and all that. But, wow, yeah, that's not a good look. Not a good look. Just get away from the redshirt senior. He is not – at this point, he's so mentally hurt now and damaged that he just it's almost not his fault now. You know, it's just like, you know what? All we can expect is that. And then Gophers-wise – you know, if there's ever a good thing out of a horrible loss, that's what we got there. You know, the Gophers' offense, you can really see it taking shape. You really can. You can see how they're built. You can see the talent. They're going to be damn good next year offensively. They're going to still be young, but they're going to be good. On the defensive side for the Minnesota Gophers, it's just been, oh my, it's been ugly. It's been ugly, ugly. Your mama says you ugly. Like that type of you're ugly. Oh my God, it's been bad. The first two plays, touchdown. It's like 64-yard drive. Next time they had the ball, two plays, 64 yards, long-ass runs, right? And then I think there was like a three-play drive that they scored on. It's like seven plays, 21 points, and you can go to 12 plays, 12 offensive plays, I think, for 28 points. It's like at least make them dink and dump. You know what I mean? Like at least make them get to a third down once in a while. It was anyway, that coordinator is out of here. He's gone. So that's where the positivity is to an extent. But, yeah. That worries me, definitely. You know, a lot of people from Minnesota say we should go to a 3-4. And I hear what they're saying because if there is one place still that has depth, we've had, you know, Winfield's kid got hurt. We've had a little injuries there. He's one of our best players on the team, if not that best player, and especially in the secondary, of course. But the problem is you have to have a big old boy in the middle if you're going to do a 3-4, especially in the Big Ten. And we don't have that big old boy in the middle that can hold his ground. So people got to think that through a little bit. So onward west, we'll see how next week pulls out. There's three games left. And right about now is when you use those red shirt four games. Just keep putting them in the game, the freshmen or sophomores or guys that, you know, are just inexperienced fresh or sophomores. It doesn't have to be just freshmen. And speaking of Michigan, they're on this thing called the Revenge Tour. Last year, you know, Wisconsin beat them 24-10. Michigan State beat them 14-10. And actually, the last three games between Michigan and Penn State have been blowouts. Last year, the Lions, the Nittany Lions, beat them 42-13, and then they lost to 31-20 to Ohio State. This year, the revenge tour rolls on. This year, Wisconsin 38-13, 21-17, or 7, excuse me, over Michigan State, and I just mentioned 42-7. We'll see, though. You know, finish it off because they still got to beat that rival. Still got to beat that rival. And Clemson this year has the two biggest scoring outputs in ACC history just this year. So that's what I'm saying about offense. They're really clicking now. So let's move on. We are going to get to the crafty pick, and that's when I'm going to play some audio, of course. Why wouldn't I? I sent the audio to my co-host. He had a good chuckle. Still can't believe they let it. That was the lead game out of all those high-profile games. Right here on the College Ball Show podcast, we knew what we were talking about, not just on the pick, but just picking that game. That was a really important game. No, it wasn't, but the outcome was crazy. And it's just a funny – there's just funny stats, and now the stat for the loser sucks too. It's just an all-out, just shitty, crafty pick of the week. So that was damn funny. The biggest thing when it comes to those college football playoff rankings this week is the one-loss teams. Ohio State sitting at 10, West Virginia sitting at 9, Washington State is at 8 down, LSU 4 spots. Because remember, they were up on Notre Dame, and both of us didn't have a problem, even though they, you know, had a loss because they had a better schedule, better resume. Now they're above Ohio State, West Virginia, and Washington State. Any problems there with 7 at LSU with 2 losses? Not for me. Wondering if it's for you. Hang on a second, though. Oklahoma 6, Georgia 5, Michigan jumps in at 4. Kind of tricky, though, with Notre Dame right in front of them. Some weird you know, wonder if Georgia beats Alabama, and by the way, Alabama and Georgia, once again, will meet. They will meet in the SEC championship game. We already know that. But that would be crazy if Georgia beats Bama. What do you do with Michigan if they've won out when Notre Dame beat them with no losses? Worst schedule, but they still beat them head-to-head, and they'd have no losses. All shit will go loose at that point. But well, are you okay with LSU at 7 over Washington State, West Virginia, and Ohio State? Because that's really the only thing that we're going to talk about when it comes to the rankings, unless you got something else, sir.
I'm okay with the Ohio State part simply just because Iowa rolled them, and I think that one bad loss is not as bad as losing to Bama and Florida on the road. Wazoo, the Pac-12, that's pretty much giving you the SEC love over the Pac-12. Because, I mean, Washington State's actually played about as damn good of Pac-12 teams as you can play. Now, it's not quite SEC talent, but they've played quite a few ranked games. So, I mean, I could see that being a little close. And West Virginia, they got Oklahoma coming up. So their schedule hasn't been that tough yet, and in their tough game at Iowa State, they got smacked in the mouth. So I would have a little bit of an argument for Wazoo. West Virginia and Ohio State, not as much of one, and LSU's schedule is such a beast, and really, you lost to Bama. Okay, so would have
right.
West Virginia, Ohio State, and Wazoo, and it probably would have been just as tough. So no, I'm good with that, my friend.
Right.
I'm good with that.
All right, I was wondering there. I thought, you know, I'm pretty good with it. I think that there's so much stuff that still lies ahead, even though we're in week 11.
Yes.
But tonight, Wake Forest pulled off an upset 27-23 on the road at NC State. Nice little W. They got it down. They got it. I think they scored with under a minute left. I was kind of watching that, finishing up my prediction article, but there are a variety of big games for week 11. The one that's a couple of them stand way out as far as marquee matchups on paper. Number 1 Alabama versus number 16 Mississippi State, and number 2 Clemson versus number 17 Boston College. Now we're going to get to the other ranked games, but since we're kind of nutshelling it tonight, why don't we double up on those? Okay, so Bama, obviously, looked every bit the part of the number 1 team in the country with a bullet. You got Mississippi State, who is built to run the ball and play great defense. They do have a great defense. There's no doubt about that. And by the way, we didn't talk about Georgia beating Kentucky, or not Kentucky. Yeah, they beat Kentucky, didn't they? Yeah. Was that, wait a second. Did we miss a game?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's the game. So Kentucky came in there as a top 15 defense. They had only allowed six rushing touchdowns, and Swift in Holyfield won over 100. They got the job done. Kentucky just they actually passed the ball better than I thought. Wilson had a pretty good game, 23 of 29, 226 for a touch. He couldn't run the ball much. That's usually the combo of Wilson and Snell. Snell ran it hard, but still only 73 yards. I did want to talk about that a little bit. But back to the Bulldogs. They actually, I talked about Kentucky on defense, they actually lead the country in fewest touchdowns given up. Obviously, they have that senior quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald. He's going to have, you know, we know he can run, but he's going to have to make some plays through the air, period. The problem is, as we know, we saw it last week, Bama thrives on one-dimensional offense. And so it is difficult to see, you know, to see like the Crimson Tide D giving up 150 rushing yards or something. Now, we talked about the hangover effect just a second ago. You can make an argument that there is a hangover effect, you know, after that dominant display in Death Valley, but I think really that's the only way it could be, is them just somehow caught up, hungover off of it, and that is, as we know, a rarity under Saban in the Saban era. It happened a couple times early, but it really hasn't happened much. I guess the only saving grace for the Bulldogs could be like a stiff or sore, bothersome knee from Tua. He does have that. He did limp in that game a little bit, especially late in the game after he scored. I guess you never know with that. But, you know, it's not like they don't have a very good to excellent backup just, you know, at their disposal. So I don't know, man. I really don't know. I don't think it's going to – I could see the first half being all right, but I got Bama, and I got Bama kind of big, 26-9. Is there any way the Bulldogs can once again, because, you know, last week there were a variety of people out there. I talked to some people at the bar as well and some friends that were eyeballing that LSU point spread, and here we are again, and it's going to be, you know, all year. 24 points against a rank versus rank. You just rarely see that. We are going to see that in that Clemson game as well. Any chance that Mississippi State could pull this upset? And then you can go to Clemson and Boston College and then send it back to me.
I just know. Mississippi State's offense isn't good. You're not gonna be Bama unless you have an elite defense, which they don't. And you have to go to Tuscaloosa at Roll Tide Stadium, and you struggle to score points. I mean, okay, so LSU held Bama last week to 29. That's their lowest output of the year. They're probably going to drop 45 on Mississippi State, and I would bet the Mississippi State's offense has not scored 50 in a game this year where they played a tough team. So I don't see it happening at all. For Clemson, Boston College, that game's a little more – actually, that game should be a little more competitive. Boston College has a good offense with A.J. Dillon, a running back. They're kind of a fun team. I would say for the past two seasons, they've put themselves back on the map. I should say, I don't know when they were originally on there, but they've put themselves on a map to be known as kind of a respectable club. They're going for back-to-back bowl seasons. The only bad thing is, from what I've seen Boston College play, is they pretty much just try to outscore people and play at a fast tempo. Again, you're not going to quite outscore Clemson because Boston College's defense is pretty crappy. So they might be able to score 30 to 35 points on Clemson, Chris, but they're going to give up probably 50 to 55 if you want to play that type of fast game. So I just think it's kind of a bad matchup. BC has been able to win track meets against teams this year, but Clemson's not the team in that conference you want to go with a track meet against, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because they're built for that, and that is a good call. You definitely don't want that, to do that. You know, A.J. Dillon, he cannot carry the whole offensive load. And their quarterback, Anthony Brown, he's going to have to, like, produce the game of his life to pull this thing off. Clemson is peaking now that November's here. You know, it's hard for me not to think that they don't already have a spot. You know what I mean? In the semifinals. It's just the bottom line. I got it 33-16, so I figure some, you know, a late touchdown or something like that. I don't know. But it could be like 40-50-16, too. You never know. But I'll say this. I like what I see out of Clemson, and it does, although, like I mentioned, Bama is all by himself or all by themselves right now, but as the beginning of the year, we didn't really decide who's what where. We favored Bama because they had Tua already. We knew that, whereas, you know, Clemson was figuring out their go with the – they had the same issue, but they were figuring it out still during the season. Whereas Bama had already figured out, you know, their quarterback situation. But right now, Clemson, they're going, dude. And it seems like Bama, Clemson, and everybody else. But, you know, maybe Michigan will have something to say about that. Georgia's going to have their say, no doubt about that, in the SEC championship game. Great, great day, though. December 1st, there's the big, big heavyweight fight between Deontay Wilder from the U.S. from Bama. He's from Tuscaloosa, actually, and he lives in Atlanta for Georgia. So I think that if you advertise that fight, and the other one is from the UK, Tyson Fury, undefeated fighters. But if you get a couple of, you know, highlight reels out during that game, I bet you they could sneak some pay-per-view views off of that hometown Bama, unless they lose that day or something like that. But I'm looking for. Sure. I love that day, especially when there's a fight at the end of the night. Oh, my God. Just sign me up. Ohio State, number 10, at 18th ranked Michigan State. The Spartans, they could sneak up on this, what is a sleeping giant of a program this year in Ohio State. We know they're a giant, but they're sleeping right now. The Buckeyes can score with the best of them, but they're mediocre at best on defense. I do think Urban Meyer, though, you know, the health issues are starting to creep in a little bit. The outside media has been saying this is his last year. He's not even going to finish this year. And he did kind of own up to, you know, having some of those health issues. Not as nearly as bad, though, like what happened at Florida, you know, when he had the chest pains and he had that minor heart attack and all that type of stuff. Or did he have a full-fledged heart attack? I can't remember, but, you know, he had some serious health issues then. So it's not on that level. But to me, I really think the troops are going to rally. I think this is going to be one of their best showings. Now, Michigan State's defense is better, but the quarterback advantage to me is going to be the ultimate decider in this one. I got Ohio State 33, Michigan State 23, buddy. Hey, what do you got on that? Can Sparty pull it off?
Sparty is just, they're so pesky. What was it? When we did it earlier this year, how D'Antoni has won like 10 of his last 15 games where he was playing a team ranked higher than him. The dude just, it's something they're good at. And Ohio State really has not had consistency this year. They got smacked by Purdue. Hell, your Gophers were in a one-possession game with them for most of the game. I mean, I think Minnesota missed a couple of field goals, and that easily could have been a one-score final. And it's kind of tough for Ohio State, too, because you have a quarterback who's one of the best throwing quarterbacks they've had Ohio State in probably a decade or so. But defensively, it's just not quite there. So I'm going to go with Sparty. They have nothing really to gain for the season.
Well, their best quarterback since JT Barrett. We don't got to go a decade back. He was the best throwing quarterback they had in history. So we don't got to go back a decade. Don't denigrate JT Barrett, damn it. Don't do it. Don't do it, Marshall.
So, yeah, so I'm going Sparty. I just
they're a pesky team. I it's hard to ever go against them, and I have not seen great stuff from Ohio State just overall consistently. So, yeah, so I would go with Sparty to win. That's just kind of what they do. With a few more matchups,
too. Fourth quarter,
that
game will be there on the tape in the fourth quarter, though.
Oh, 100%.
It will be a fun game, no doubt about that. What were you going
to
say?
This game is normally a fun game to watch. I don't expect it this year. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Bedlam is normally a fun competitive game with a high-scoring matchup. I think Oklahoma is going to score a lot. I don't think Oklahoma State is going to score a lot this year. Oklahoma State's 5-4. They've had a little bit of a down year to their standards. They're normally a 9-10 win team up late, but they lost Mason Rudolph. They lost their stud wide receivers. I think Oklahoma rolls pretty well. We did predict now after Oklahoma lost their defense coordinator or fired. They've simplified their defense and it's been much better since the Texas massacre where Ellinger dropped like 48 on them. So Oklahoma's defense has not become elite, but they've become more respectful.
Yeah, they only gave up 45 last week, so they did make an improvement by a field goal. Good call.
you're okay. You're slamming me there, but I mean with Texas, all right, you son of a bitch. All right, so their defense has gotten better. Texas going in Lubbock is tough on anyone, but I do expect Oklahoma to play very well. They're in Norman, they're at home. I don't think this game will be a coin flip or a high scoring one like quite high scoring as usual. And right below that ranking is Washington State. Okay, we talked about it 25 minutes ago or so. They're on pace to win the Pac-12, playing the Pac-12 title game. You're going on the road to Colorado. This is a game you must win. Colorado at one point this year was 4-0 on the verge of being ranked or possibly ranked 25th. Since then, they've fallen apart. Yeah, Colorado, a team who blew a 24-point lead at Oregon State.
They're garbage.
You blew huge lead.
You think the Gophers are garbage? That is a garbage-ass freaking.
So this is an automatic win for Mike Leach. It has to be. This is not a game you can screw up. And Colorado just recently lost to USC. They just recently lost to Arizona State. I mean, you got to take care of business. So this will be one of my picks of the week. Washington State is -6. I like them. Take it to the window. The Cougs, -6. I like them to win. That's one of those games where if you're Washington State, get up early and just let them crumble apart. Again, this team was 4-0. Now they're 5-4. Okay, the momentum has gone downhill quickly. So if you're Wazoo, take care of business and beat a team you need to beat. It is on the road. I know Colorado's kind of got that kind of fun, neat looking stadium and all that stuff, but that's just a game you got to win. Take care of business if you are Washington State, my friend.
Unless they like blitz with the Buffalo, the actual Buffalo, that could be effective. But other than that, I'm with you. I got a couple of take it to the windows. It's funny. I have Washington State covering and getting the job done. They're 6-point favorite now. Take it to the window. Number 11, Kentucky, making a repeat appearance here under the take it to the window, will be victorious as a favorite, I think a 5.5-point favorite. You could take that to the window. I think it's Tennessee. That they're favored by. A couple other games that we're going to get to. Let's just talk spread a little bit, too. Against the spread here, that Oklahoma State, I do think Oklahoma State will definitely lose to Oklahoma, but look for the Cowboys to cover that 20.5. I think they can sneak 0.5 that they are, favored to lose by. I think they'll lose by less than that. Northwestern will keep it close enough. They'll lose. I think they're going to lose to Iowa at Iowa because right now the Hawkeyes are looking in from the outside of the Big Ten Western, divisional race. But they can play spoiler and jump right back up, beating this, Northwestern squad who is improved in the last probably month, 6 weeks, something like that. And then number 19, Texas, at Texas Tech. Sure, like this Big 12 matchup, you know, it's not the fire. It's going to be a firefight, right? No doubt about it. It's lost a little bit of its luster because of a couple of recent losses or whatever. But still, I mean, it's going to be a great game. Ton of firepower on the field. So that could be interesting still. I wonder, though, if Bowman will be back. Done, or is he – I wonder what's up with him.
That I know he was released out of the hospital a couple of days ago. I'm assuming with that being the case and the lung being, like, re-punctured, I'm not sure if that's the quite correct medical term. But I would assume he's taking the week off just because, I mean, he had a punctured lung and now something happened. That sounds just something too scary as a coach. I mean, you don't want your – quarterback to just re-puncture and the safety of the kid, there's just too many red flags. Obviously, Jed Duffy, who's got a sick name, I mean, he's good. I think he'll put up a good fight. He's not Bowman, but I think you got to feel confident with him and let that kid get fully healthy. And again, how a random football causes an injury, that's just awfully bad luck, because that Bowman kid for a freshman is putting up numbers that most freshmen don't, even with the Kingsbury offense. That kid is special. Hopefully he just gets healthy so we can see him again sooner.
Yeah, here's one of the biggest non-Power 5 matchups of the year. And it's number 23, Fresno State at Boise State. Quality quarterbacks go head-to-head. This one's going to be interesting, man. It's flying under the radar because, well, it's a non-Power 5. But I really think this could be a tight game. The last time Boise State was in, like, even a meaningful game like this year, where it was like, all right, you're playing a ranked team. What are you going to do? And they laid an egg against Oklahoma State. So I want to see how they, you know, bounce back now. Fresno State's look good. You know, they've reeled off seven victories in a row since losing to who? Minnesota. Winfield Jr. stole that game at the end. He got beat, made up for it, made it really great pick. I don't know if you saw that pick. You should look it up, though. It's a nice pick in the end zone to win the game. The highlight of the Gopher season right there. But Fresno State at Boise State means a lot for the non-Power 5 and where they're going to be in and around New Year's Day and all that good stuff. I think Oregon is going to score a nice little victory. It's only a minor upset. I think they're a field goal or something like that, road dog. I think it might be tighter now because their running back, the Utes running back, Zach Moss, he's out, and Tyler Huntley is out as well. But I think that'll probably come down to it, but I do think Oregon will win that. That's just like a minor upset if you're just looking at it and you're looking for a reason to bet Oregon in this one. Look no further. You got it. You know that? I meant to say that Bama win gave them 900 victories in school history. There's only been four programs that have gotten the 900. That's freaking pretty crazy. There's also this stat that this wide receiver, Andy Isabella from University of Massachusetts, dude had 9 catches for 303 and 2 touchdowns in a victory over Liberty. We've actually had both those on the crafty pick of the week. Yeah, and, you know, I think it's getting kind of close to that time, Marshall. Is there any other game that you want to go through before we cue this thing up?
I hope
anything out there.
I hope that Florida State beats Notre Dame just because I can't stand either, but that would just piss off Notre Dame fans if they lost to a below average Florida State team in Notre Dame too. So we had not often on this show did we mention Florida State in a positive way, but go be Notre Dame. That'd be hilarious. And for a game that is just good teams you normally don't hear about, South Florida 7-2 goes to Cincinnati, who's 8-1. Again, since he's 8-1. That game's on ESPNU at 6 o'clock, so not the biggest game you'll have on your
television. Is this Saturday
screen,
or Friday?
But, Saturday night. That'd be a pretty damn good game to watch. Cincinnati is a sneaky good team. I've watched them play a couple times. They're not super impressive. They're normally pretty slow in the first half, but they're 8-1. I mean,
yeah.
I am a little surprised they're not ranked. That normally should almost do enough for you. So that would, I think, if either team wins, that could be a ranking situation. Because South Florida 7-2, Cincinnati 8-1, so that'd be kind of fun one to watch. And I just saw with us using the ESPN, if you scroll through these, Notre Dame, Florida State, temperature for that game, 32 degrees. Cincinnati, South Florida, temperature supposed to be 38. If you are gambling and for the college games this weekend and the weather starts kicking in, check your weather. It sucks to bet a game and then you see there's snowfall coming down and the strategy, what you think about your team.
Yeah, wind is crazy.
That all goes out the window. And then normally I just start betting under. If you see a game where it's supposed to be crazy wind or a snowstorm, just bet under. Because you lose the strategy and the skill of the game when your players can't run plays or they're snow angels or it's raining or it's 30 degrees and the quarterbacks get cold and all that stuff. So start checking out weather. Obviously, some places, in San Diego, USC is never really affected by weather. But East Coast places, you start seeing 30, 40 degrees, that's going to change the climate a little bit. But besides that, brother, I'm good.
College football followed the two worst teams in America, according to the FBI. Rice and UTEP are the minus lost 20 in a row, but they're up big after Draymond Hughes scores in the direct snap at 27-3 here, and they extend their lead. Rice comes all the way back. Wiley Green pass picked off by Justin Rogers. Yes, celebrate, UTEP. Yeah. The Miners with the win, 34-26. Breathe a sigh of relief. The longest losing streak at FBS is over. UTEP snapped its 20-game streak. Now every team in FBS has a win. The longest losing streak now belongs to Rice.
That's right. The longest losing streak now is Rice, their opponent. The last team in America to get a W, the last team, Marshall, to get a W, who picked it? The last team in America.
We did. Yep.
We did? I'm the one who picked it. Come on now. I picked the win.
Well,
I picked the win.
The game on the table, but yes, you did. You picked it. You're right, brother. You picked it.
I was going to give you the second pick, saying, in the fact that you picked that game, and then it led the SportsCenter College Football Wrap. That is just classic. And I had no clue, Marshall, not a freaking clue, that they hadn't won in 20 games.
Neither did I.
I knew they didn't win this year, and I knew I was going out on a limb a little bit, but holy cow, man. 20 losses in a row. That, that's crazy. So kudos to you guys. UTEP, you got off the schneid, last team in America. And you heard it here. Where'd you hear it? On the College Ball Show. That's where you heard it.
Yep.
Now Rice takes over. Now Rice takes over as the worst team in America, basically. They almost lost that game, by the way. UTEP almost found a way to lose that game still. They still almost found a way. We're coming to it, man. We are coming to it. What do you got for me here, sir? What do you got for the crafty pick of the week that has just been on fire? And since we talked about it so much, you do know that this week, unfortunately, is coming to a close. I hope not, but it could be. What do you got for me, sir?
I'm confused. Okay, on a good note, there's only one game. I'm not doing the back and forth of two. This one stands out. But there is a hyphen slash mark in the stadium name. I love the stadium names for this segment. It's one of my favorite parts. It is the at the Kelly / Shorts Stadium in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Why would there be a damn / in the name of your stadium? So was it originally Kelly Stadium, then they, like, wanted to buy, like, Shorts? Is this, like, a jean company? Like, so the Kelly / Shorts Stadium in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, which I think is, like, the name of a movie. Central Michigan, the Chippewas, who used to have, like, Dan LeFevre, the one guy I always remember from that school, who was, like, a back quarterback for a while years ago. They're 1-9, and they're 0-6 in the MAC. Okay, they're at home at their Kelly Jean Short frickin' stadium. They're playing the Bowling Green Falcons, who are 1-8, who are 0-5 in the MAC. Now, unlike you, normally when we get two crap teams playing each other, the points this week it's going up to 7. So it's a little bit tougher on your choice, but Vegas must think, hey, the Chippewas got something going on here. They're going to, you know, do their Chippewa stuff and kill the Falcon. But, yeah, so Central Michigan -7, over under 51 and a half, temperature, 35-degree temp. So we got cold weather. That's a factor to consider. 1-9 against 1-8. Home team is a 7-point favorite. MAC football, 2 o'clock Central Time, ESPN+. Plus. Get it on your Apple TV, whatever your streaming device is. Let's go, Chris, at the Kelly / Shorts Stadium.
Man, this is a doozy. This is a doozy. Wow. This is nice. And according to Kelly / Shorts, according to Vivid Seats, there's 18 tickets left, so it's a hot seller. Keen as starting as low as 13. There's only 18 tickets. Get them while they're hot. Central Michigan is the favorite. That's what you said, right? By 7, you said, or something like that? Okay.
7, yeah. Yes, sir.
So they got a rushing quarterback, and what I mean by that is the guy's thrown for 5, and he's thrown 10 interceptions. So that is pretty much a rushing quarterback. However, he only has 387 on the year, and he's the leading rusher on the year. That's not good. It looks like Bowling Green can definitely sling that thing around. They got Jay Dogji. They could throw that thing around to Claire out of the backfield, too. Wow. Actually, Miller, dude, he's getting close to 1,000 yards. Wow, dude. This is starting to – uh-oh. This – you know what? I've been going on a limb. I have been going on a limb. Have I not, Marshall? I've been going on
you
a
have.
Limb a little
bit. Yes, sir.
I mean, I picked a team last week that hadn't won, is the last team in America, and they hadn't won in 20 games. I'd say that's going on a limb here. Man, they can fit 48,000. Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong thing. I was going to say they could fit 48,000 in that thing? I think it – no, that's – okay. Whew, I was going to say, golly, we got to get down to that stadium. Man, I mean, how is Central Michigan against the pass? They're actually pretty good. They're actually pretty good. I wish Central Michigan could run, though, because Bowling Green has given up 320 yards on the ground every single solitary time out.
Jesus.
Holy cow. And you know what? They got for this segment, 26 points per game scoring is pretty good. Central Michigan is scoring 15
yes,
points.
Yes, it is.
However, 15 points they're scoring, Marshall. However, Bowling Green gives up 46 points a game. Oh,
holy
my
shit.
God. What Jeez. The hell? Now, they've had some tight games. Actually, when you look at it, the last 2 weeks have been pretty tight. Oh, God. This one, I actually, I want to go Bowling Green. Through the air, this man. Okay, I'm gonna go Central Michigan. I'm gonna play it safe at home. live another day, but don't. But just mark my words. If Bowling Green wins, that's the thing about these crafty picks. I've been picking them right, but you've been picking them great because they've basically the last month has come down to. Well, actually, even the couple that I lost came down to like real last second plays or miracle plays type stuff. So look for Doji to throw the shit out of the ball, and they'll win that way. It'll probably be like a 40-yard bomb in the edge of the end zone. But I'm going Central Michigan to wrap this puppy up, man. Let's wrap it up. Let's keep this thing going. You'd be in the red right now. You'd be in the red if you're going to listen to the crafty pick of the week. Would you not be?
Yeah, I think in the last 3 weeks, of the six teams selected in our choice is actually 18 because I once gave you that double games.
Yeah, that's right.
Four games of football with eight teams, I believe the total amount of wins on the season is eight. So the past eight games, of the past eight teams we've discussed, the total wins to that point in the season is eight wins.
Holy cow.
Jesus,
they just
Lord.
Got one. They just got one,
yeah.
too. Like, one of them just happened.
God almighty. I love this segment. I'm always finishing on a note smiling. So with that said, take the Central Michigan, Dan LeFever, Chippewas to the window. They're going to be wood chipping things all over. People are going to be wearing jean shorts and drinking beer and having a blast. So on that note,
I'm hoping for the win. I'm hoping for the win so they can't pass.
Yeah, so and cold weather, hopefully. I don't want to see snow. God, we're probably going to have a damn blizzard. We'll be leading off ESPN again.
Yeah, right.
Seven inches of snow during kickoff at Central Michigan, Mount Pleasant. The mountain was covered in snow. God, that would be a blast. We got another audio drop for our game. So we'll be back next week breaking down whatever Central Michigan does, along with some, as Chris said, some good SEC matchups. Big Ten's got some stuff going on. Pac-12, can Wazoo win the Pac-12 for the first time basically since Ryan Leaf? So come in next week and listen to that. We love all of our listeners. However you do listen, again, make a few bets. Our pick this week, we're both going to the window for Wazoo. So thanks for always listening. Have a healthy, safe weekend. You keep hearing all the sad, sad news, especially with the California stuff. Just take care of yourself. Have some fun. Enjoy time with your family and loved ones. The boys are out tonight. Peace.